Welcome to TSN, the Reporters Podcast. I'm Dave Hodge with Carl Kelly, Michael Farber, and Steve Simmons to talk about men's hockey in Sochi, which for a lot of Canadians is more important than anything else that will happen at the Olympics. If Canada wins gold in men's hockey, the rest can take care of itself. Well, that's what happened in Vancouver, although as a bonus, Canada won a whole bunch of other gold medals as well. Maybe, maybe not in Sochi, but what are the odds that Canada repeats on the ice with Sidney Crosby and company, Michael?
50-50. I think Sweden is the country you most have to watch because those players grew up playing on that big ice. Canada has won on big ice. That was in Salt Lake City, but it hasn't won outside North America.
Not only has it not won outside North America, it has no medals outside North America. There have been four Olympics since they brought NHL players in. Two gold medals in North America, zero medals outside North America. They have to learn how to win outside North America.
But I think, you know, we may put too much emphasis on those kind of factors. When you look at the all-around talent of the team, this is about just as talented a Canadian team has ever been, defending gold medalists. I think they deserve the benefit of the doubt, and I think 50-50 is a pretty good set of odds for anybody going into a tournament.
Yeah, you look at the firepower, and you look at the depth on defense, and you say Canada should win. I think we viewed the Vancouver tournament the same way, and Canada did win, but narrowly. Mm-hmm. And I think that is what we should expect again. Canada's not going to run away with it, despite all of the stats tied to all of those forwards who made the team, and the great stats that are shown by forwards who weren't good enough to make the team.
But when you're talking about a one-game, winner-take-all format, you know, that's why the Tommy Salo things happen, and that's why you get a game like Canada-USA, where the U.S. ties it up in the final seconds and then goes to overtime with Crosby. When you get those spectacular one-game kind of things, because that's not normally the way hockey works.
And it often comes down to one save, and most of the past year has been spent discussing Canada's goaltending. Is it good enough? In a one-game showdown, say, against the Swedes, is it going to be Price or Luongo against Lundqvist? And do you like that matchup? Because that's what might happen.
There's another factor here, and that's the Russian thing. They are at home. This is their game, they say. These are their best players. The depth of their team and the defense in the team may not match Canada's, but that we saw what being at home meant in Vancouver, and I think being at home will mean a lot to those Russian players.
There's a function of motivation, and certainly the Russians have it, because you get the feeling if it all goes sideways, they want to get out of the country very, very quickly. That said, I think there is also a function of self-belief, and I don't think there's a team in the world that comes into it as confident as the Canadian players come into it. Having done it before, knowing each other, all players either at or cresting their peaks, I think this is probably the most confident Canadian group in a long time.
And Russia has the same kind of pressure that Canada had in Vancouver. But you talk about home ice for Russia. There have been four major hockey tournaments on Russian soil since 2000. Two world championships, two world juniors. Russia's result, two bronze medals. They have not exactly taken home ice and zambonied the world with it.
No, and what you get in these kind of tournaments, Let's go back to Turin for a second. You have a pretty good Canadian roster until they got on the ice. And they looked like they'd never played together, never met each other, didn't know how to play big ice, couldn't click. And that's what happens here. You play your three games in the round robin. They're kind of meaningless just for seeding purposes. And then
kind
it starts.
Kind of meaningless.
Well, they can be meaningful.
Like they're completely meaningless.
No, you can be meaningful for who your matchups are.
Steve brings up Turin. You remember how Sweden laid down to Slovakia so it wouldn't have to play a tough draw? They ended up playing Switzerland. Sweden will tell you that they didn't exactly throw the game, but as close as they could in order to get Switzerland.
No, but what I'm saying is you get to that point. Sometimes you become a team. Sometimes it all clicks together. And sometimes we've seen it in a few Olympics. It doesn't. You can have the best players. It doesn't make you the best
team. But also the difference here is with this Canadian team, the idea of Kunitz and Crosby, the idea of Taves and Sharp, the idea of Getzlaff, and, is this idea that you've got guys that already click. You're putting them in there. It's click and play. Whereas other teams, not necessarily outside of the Sedin brothers, not so simple to put these lines together and expect them to click.
Are there individual players who hold keys to their teams? Stamkos, everybody has a question mark. Pavel Datsyuk, same thing with Russia. I think Erik Karlsson for Sweden had better be better than we have seen him most recently against the Leafs. Didn't look like the Erik Karlsson that he needs to be if Sweden is to be as good as you think. Are there players that stand out for you that you? I mean, I suppose you could mention Crosby. Do you want to do that?
Well, first of all, you start with him because we have not yet seen him, even in Vancouver. He wasn't great until he had the moment. Yeah. He had that moment. Before that, he wasn't the best player in the world. And often when you see these tournaments, the best player in the world isn't often the best player in the world. Someone else emerges. Yeah. We you know, Mats Sundin, I thought, in at least two Olympics was the best player. So yeah. You know, the guy I'm interested in watching, honestly, is Phil Kessel, who is coming on so well playing for the Leafs and was a non-factor 4 years ago. How does he step up on the big ice?
I'm looking at Ilya Kovalchuk because he went back to the KHL, and we tend to almost forget about him now because it's all about Ovechkin and, to a lesser extent, Datsyuk, who has been hurt. But Kovalchuk has been a wonderful player on international stages, and with the pressure on this team, and as Paul McLean, the Senators coach, told me, the difference between Stephen Harper showing up to watch the gold medal game in Vancouver and Vladimir Putin showing up to watch the gold medal game.
I want to see how this ends.
Is that one of the guys is telling the coach which defense pair to use on the PK. So there is more pressure in Russia. But I want to see Kovalchuk on that stage.
The other one writes books about it.
For me, it's Henrik Lundqvist, because I think we'd agree if he was having the season we expect from him, that's probably an easy favorite to make Sweden. We're talking about a guy, a 917 save percentage this season, which puts him with the Marc-Andre Fleurys of the world. If he takes over, then that team probably is the favorite after two games. But if he plays down to the level he's played this year, suddenly Canada's on top.
Well, and he's been better lately. Yeah. Sweden would have to smile at watching the Lundqvist's most recent games. But, you know, the Swedes have got, you know, they don't have Franzen. They don't know about Henrik Sedin. As I said, Karlsson is a question mark. I don't see them as the main threat to Canada.
So who do you see there?
The same team that almost beat Canada in Vancouver. I think the Americans are a formidable opponent, and I think they're going to be strong in goal. Well, strong on defense and strong up front. Some people say their center ice talent is not as good. Nobody's as good as Canada's. But I think the American depth will show, and I think they're going to be motivated, well coached. And I have more questions about the other teams than I do about the Americans.
What's fascinating to me is everybody but Canada's missing something. You know, Russia has a weak defense. Sweden is weak up front, in my view. You know, Finland doesn't have a very good defense. You run through it, and individually, there are things missing on almost every team. Well, there's nothing missing on the Canadian team except we don't know about the goalies.
Well, missing on Team USA might be some scoring. And that might be the one area that the
Swedes have two of the top five scorers in the NHL.
Kessel
right
and Kane, and you put Pavelski and Backes, and you know you got to keep going down the list. And you know they don't have a Crosby, they don't have an Ovechkin, close.
I don't see them having scoring throughout the lineup, unlike Canada.
Well, we'll see what happens. Canada the favorite. I think we can agree, mostly agree with that. And there are at least three teams who should make Canada work hard for another gold medal. We will be working hard, some of us in Sochi and some of us back here, to react when the Olympics are over on the TSN Reporters Podcast. We hope you'll join us for that. Thanks for this time.